Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Yes, we're here. It's so good to be here with you in person. Yes, love to gather with God's people. My name is Shad Wickstrom. I'm the lead pastor here at Pursue Church. If you're a guest with us here for the first time, we're glad that you're here. If you're watching online, we know that most people check us out online a lot these days, and we're glad that you're there, but we'd love to have you come join us in person when you are ready. We've got plenty of room, and it's very safe here. We'd love to see you and meet you in person. We are in the midst of a series focusing on what the church has traditionally called Advent season. And if you were with us past week, we focused on hope. And as a quick recap, the word Advent means coming or arrival. And the season is marked by expectation and longing and waiting and anticipation. And it's not just us extending the Christmas celebration. It's a season where we focus on how Christmas ties the past, the present, and the future all together. That is what is so powerful about the Advent season. It offers us the opportunity, easy for me to say, to look at how they were anticipating the coming of the Messiah, his arrival, and then we now look forward to his second coming. And those things are all tied together in Advent. It celebrates the hope that was fulfilled in Jesus' first coming, while at the same time looking forward and hopeful and eager to his second coming. So during Advent, we're waiting for both. And it's not just sitting back. There's an active side to it. We're looking for something. We're waiting in anticipation for the fulfillment of God's promises. And each week, we're going to focus on a different attribute of Christ's birth, his coming, as it's revealed in his life, the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love. All of those are traits that Christ reveals to us about who God is, and that's what we're focusing on. And today, I'm glad you're here with us because we are focusing on peace. We're focusing on peace, and I want to invite you right now with me to just take a deep breath and let it out, and be at peace in this moment. So Christmas, I don't know if you know this, is a big deal in Finland as well. Anybody been to Finland? Nobody? No? Well, you're going to learn something about Finland today. Great lesson in another country's history. They have a tradition that happens every year. In fact, it's happened almost every year since the 1300s. Since the 1300s. That's been going on, if you do the math, just over 700 years. And it's called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. Each year at noon on Christmas Eve Day, the Christmas Peace is declared in the city of Turku. The proclamation is read, and it's usually by a city official, and he's on the balcony of an historic mansion at the center of town in their old great square. It's broadcast on radio and television, and of course now it's live streaming on the internet. You can watch it this coming Christmas Eve Day. The declaration serves to them as a reminder and an encouragement to spend the holiday in harmony. And it's also purposed to threaten offenders with harsh punishment if they violate that. And ultimately, to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Here's what the proclamation reads as it's translated into the English language. It says, "Tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all. By advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully, because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall, under aggravating circumstances, be guilty and punished according to what the law and statutes prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, A joyous Christmas feast is wished to all the inhabitants of the city. Now, you better not mess with the finish at Christmas, right? Don't mess with their peace. But isn't that a great way to remind people of the beauty of the Christmas season? A reminder that Christ's coming brought peace to the world. And anyone who would violate that would suffer the consequence of it. And that's a great reminder for us. Lucinda Norman, who's a writer, writes of her experience Christmas shopping at the mall. Anybody done any Christmas shopping in a mall this year? No, we're all online, right? But in the past, this stuff happens. People had been pushing and elbowing and cutting in front of her all day long. And during one particular moment, a 10-minute extra 10-off special, one woman grabbed a lace tablecloth from her hands and said, "Mine!" She yanked it back and won the fight. But by 4 p.m., her mood was absolutely belligerent. She was planning to meet some friends at the mall restaurant and flagged down her server once she was seated, and she barked at her server, "I need a hot tea now." The waitress snapped back at her, "I'm not your server, wait your turn." Lucinda was furious. "Lady, I've been waiting my turn all day, bring me some tea." But the waitress ignored her. A few moments later, a young man came to their tables and said, "Hey, I'm Rob, I'm your waiter. What can I get for you?" After he took their order, Lucinda watched Rob as he helped the rude waitress with her tray. He then greeted some other customers and staff with a smile on his face. In the midst of all the hurried customers and the chaos of the season, he had a polite and unhurried atmosphere of calm and peace around him. And when he refilled her tea, Lucinda noticed a silver ring on his hand made of connected letters spelling the name Jesus. Lucinda noticed that, and then it shifted her thinking, and she writes about the experience. "From that moment on, my attitude changed. This young man's example had reminded me of the peace that Christ came to bring. And for the rest of the day, Lucinda enjoyed shopping, opening doors, letting others in front of her in the checkout line, all in an atmosphere of peace." My friends, you have the power to bring that kind of presence if Christ is within you. The question was once asked, if you could choose what you want most in life, what would you ask for? You know the most common answer? I bet you can guess by now, right? Peace. People want peace in their marriages, in their families, in their workplaces, in their country, in their world. My friends, our country has some of the best medical and psychological treatment centers, the highest educational facilities and institutions, and worldwide communication abilities. Yet with all these things, many people are without true inner peace. And there's nothing like this time of year that accentuates that reality. The results are devastating, and we know this. It means that there are broken marriages, split families, there's hatred, rebellion, financial anxiety. A country that is unsettled, searching for peace. Now, mind you, the world will offer you peace in all forms through escapism. Whether it's drugs or alcohol or immoral relationships or constant entertainment. We seek it through all forms of pleasure or self-satisfaction and positive thinking. Many believe that peace is defined as the absence of trouble when you talk to them. They refuse to face their problems in their lives and believe that's finding peace. The world, however, has never held the answer to true peace. My friends, you and I can choose to have true peace, but true peace does not come from man. It comes from God. The main idea of the message today is this: no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, no Jesus, no peace, no Jesus, no peace, real quickly. Let's pray together as we get ready to read from God's word. Father God, we are hungry for true peace. We recognize and we see it all around us. This world is hungry for true peace. A peace that settles deep in our souls. God, we long for it. We need it in our lives. Now more than ever, God, we need to know you are here. We need to know that you're real. I pray, God, that you would grant us the gift of knowing your presence today and knowing that true peace, whether we're here in person or we're watching online. God, would you grant us that grace to experience and know true peace through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray as we connect with the story that you unfolded for all of mankind to know and see. As we connect with that today in the birth of your Son, Jesus, would you awaken our eyes and awaken our understanding to true peace today? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 is where we'll be from Scripture. If you would turn there either in your Bible app, on the YouVersion Bible app, under live events, you'll get the Scripture there, or you can just go to Luke 2 in your Bible app, or in your Bibles, Luke chapter 2. And if you would stand with me, we're going to stand as we read the Scripture again today. And I want you to imagine right now that you are on a hillside looking up into a night sky. And this is the setting which this story takes place in. Verse 8 of Luke chapter 2, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened and which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They were just as they had been told. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Now we're looking at different characters in the biblical Christmas story here, seeing how they encountered the arrival of Jesus. And when we think of peace embodied in the Christmas story, the shepherds come to the top of the list. They were perhaps the most unlikely recipients of this incredible message of God's peace. So there's a couple of observations I'd like to make from this story as we think about it together today. First of all, this is God's birth announcement. What's really popular these days, right? We see it all the time. You know, people are shooting these weird cannons off, announcing the gender of their baby and all these birth announcement kind of stuff. Think about the best one you've seen, and it pales in comparison to what God has done here, man. He cleared the night sky, sent an angel, and then an army of angels to declare this birth. There is something significant going on here, supernatural, unusual. The New Living Translation calls them the armies of heaven. And it's hard to imagine what that scene is like, because I'm not sure we've had anything like it ever to compare it to. Think about this sound, all these incredible angels praising God, probably singing and declaring glory to God in heaven and peace on earth. All these sounds, you can imagine their harmonies and their melodies, just unbelievable sound. Not just a sight, but a sound, a multi-sensory experience, probably shaking them to the core. How loud must it have been? An army of angels. Now, we used to give out earplugs when we had a full band, because we would play louder music, and we didn't want, if you have sensitivity to loud music, we wanted to make sure you were safe and you could still enjoy and participate. But my friends, I want you to imagine what would have stopped the sound coming forward of the angels declaring the birth of a Savior. Now here's the interesting thing, the interesting observation this morning. The audience for the grand announcement, of course, were the most elite kings and queens and all the prominent people in that culture that day. Isn't that amazing? You're not with me, because I just told an untruth and you're not holding me accountable. I heard one person say, no, it was not the kings and queens. It wasn't, right? It's the shepherds. It was the shepherds who received this news. Completely ordinary. Average Joe. Night shift working animal caretakers. It's yet another scene in how God is perfectly flipping the script of what we think should happen, what we might do if we were the ones bringing a Savior into the world. God is turning that upside down. But there's a question that kind of lingers, right? Why did he do this why did he announce this to the shepherds? There's got to be more to the story, right? A few reasons that I can think of. First of all, the shepherds remind us that the patriarchs of Israel were shepherds and nomadic people. Abraham was the original recipient of God's covenant promise. He was a shepherd. This promise carried on through Abraham's line, Isaac, Jacob, and beyond. And then David, who was the very first king of Israel, do you know what his first profession was? He was a shepherd. There was something significant, something that God wants us to notice about the shepherds. They were common men. There was nothing special about them. They were not entitled. They didn't have any entitlement. There was no pride or arrogance. They were not religious, claiming some sort of religious right. They fit right into the story of God introducing his Savior through common people, through Mary and Joseph, in a birth, in a lowly stable, surrounded by animals and shepherds from in the field who probably smelled like the sheep they watched. So we're on the outskirts of what might have been considered refined civilization, those that traveled in untraveled paths. They were considered by society not to be of significance, yet God chose to speak his message of peace to them first. I believe this is also a reason for the shepherds, is that it was a foreshadowing of Jesus' purpose on earth. Sheep might have been considered lowly animals or common animals, but they were very significant in Jewish culture. The Passover lamb was the sacrifice that an ancient Jew would make to atone for their sins on a yearly basis. It was a blood atonement that was required to appease the brokenness and the sinfulness that they each carried. And it was a foreshadowing of the price that was going to be paid through God's ultimate sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. And each time it was done, each time they made that sacrifice of the lamb, it was a reminder of the original Passover, where God set them free when they put the blood of a lamb on the post of their door. The angel of death passed over, and God rescued his people out of slavery. What a picture of things that were to come. God rescuing people out of slavery to sin and brokenness and separation. These are probably all reasons for God sending this message to the shepherds that night, and it certainly reminds us that God's favor is not based on human standards. It's not based on what we think it should be based on. His favor is on all those who will humbly admit their brokenness and accept the gifts that he gives freely of hope and peace and joy and love. My friends, peace is not based on your class or your position or your occupation, how much wealth you have, but it's on God's purpose and design to bring good news that causes great joy in our hearts. So here's what I hope you're going to take away from the message today, some realities of peace in the struggle of life. In your notes, the first reality that we learn from this story is that peace, Jesus brings peace in the storm. He doesn't necessarily remove the storm. He brings peace in the middle of the storm. I mentioned last week, May 22nd. I said March because I'm 50 now and I have weird slips like that. But May 22nd at 11:36 in the morning, an incredible thing happened in my life personally. I was at home when a tornado ripped through. I mentioned that last week. But I want to share with you a little bit of the experience of that tornado in the moment. So we were kind of outside watching the storm clouds form, and it was really low hanging. It was over in the south. This big cloud was forming, and I we were looking at it thinking, man, that's a weird looking shaped cloud. And we would kind of go out and look at it and then come back inside and continue what we were doing. And then all of a sudden, it got really weird. There was a color hue in the atmosphere I have never seen before. And the hail started coming down. The wind started ripping through. And stuff just started coming against our house. And you could hear it was just loud and powerful. And then I remember watching from my garage. I didn't want to go outside, but I remember seeing a big piece of hail coming down out of the sky, taking out the back window of a Jeep, and it just shattered it. It was crazy. And we're starting to think, this is a big storm. So we run inside, we go downstairs, and it was so loud, and all of a sudden it just went, whew. It was like weird, eerie quiet, like what happened? All of a sudden, nothing is going on. And then just about the moment I grasped that, I felt the wind, my breath get sucked out of me like this, the pressure change, and my ears popped, and it was like, and then everything broke loose. You could feel the racking of the house and the roof lifting off, and it was just the power of which I've never, ever known. But there was a moment in the middle of that storm where there was just like this weird peace that you can't explain. When you've experienced that kind of peace in this life, you know you've encountered Jesus in the midst of those literal storms that happen in our lives. Let me ask you a question. How is your Christmas season going? How has it gone in the past? What word would you use to define your Christmas season? Is it crazy, hectic, hurried, busy, insane, frantic? Or is that just life in general for you all along? Because if that's the case, we need to do some really serious work. But especially around Christmas, right? Sometimes it feels like this. It could be an overloaded schedule that robs us of our peace. Or maybe it's something a little more personal and deep. You've got relational conflict or pressure at work. Maybe you've lost your job. You're concerned about your job, especially right now. My friends, we have plenty of options to choose from in the storms and the trials right now. And that's where you find yourself today. Let me encourage you that Jesus shows up when the storms of life threaten our peace and hope and joy. That is where Jesus loves to show himself powerful and real and bring peace that does not make sense based on all that's going on around you. And so this opportunity is an amazing opportunity for people to experience the goodness of God if they will simply turn to him and recognize that Jesus brings peace in the storm. Think about it. This is when Jesus was born. The nation of Israel was under Roman oppression. They were under pain and trial and difficulty. Jesus showed up right in the middle of that. John 16:30, Jesus' words. Speaking with the disciples, he says, "Now we can see that you know all things." They've recognized God, Jesus knew all things, and that you do not even need anyone to ask you a question. This makes us believe that you came from God. "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you're going to be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things," listen carefully here, "so that in me you may have peace. In this world you are going to have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." My friends, Jesus is showing us that this world is not his ultimate intended plan for us. There is something better. There is something deeper. There is something more rich and full and beautiful that is coming. But in all the circumstances and all the trials, that is where God shows up. Whether it's in our pain or in our fears, in our struggles, God is here to bring peace and calm to your heart. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, "No Jesus, no peace." The second takeaway application I'm hoping you'll take with you from this is that the peace of Christ is greater than our circumstances, leading from the first point. The peace of Christ is greater than our circumstances. If you're looking for peace in any other place other than the person of Jesus Christ, you will not find it. It will not last. You will continually have to go back for more to whatever that is you're going to for peace. It will not satisfy. There is only one place you can find true peace in this life that lasts, that's greater than all your circumstances, and that is the peace of Christ. You might say to me right now, "But you don't know my circumstances. You don't know what I'm going through," and you'd be correct. I don't know your circumstances, but God does. And these are his words, not mine. These are his promises, not mine. They are rooted in his character, not mine. Philippians 4 gives us this encouragement: "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." My friends, no matter what we are facing, the process begins with us turning to God, bringing our hurts, our questions, our doubts, our fears, all of that to God. That's the starting point. Honesty and humility. Notice Paul says there in that verse, "In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." My friends, there is power in prayer. There is power in gratitude. If you want to see your life, your attitude, the atmosphere around you change, do those two things today when you go home. Pray and give thanks. Go through a list of things. Write down what it is that you're thankful for. And acknowledge that to God and to those around you. It will shift your attitude and the atmosphere around you. And it's not the power of getting what we want or convincing God to see things our way. We can try. He will listen. But what happens is we begin to see things from his perspective when we go to him in prayer. The power of prayer happens in the experience of peace as our perspective changes and we find an understanding that God is with us no matter what. That allows his peace to transcend circumstances. The third reality of peace is this: Jesus is peace. This is the most important takeaway this morning. So if you haven't paid attention yet, I want you to pay attention now because this is the most important part. Jesus is peace. Look at Ephesians 2. It says this, "For he himself, that is Jesus, is our peace. He has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose then was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Man, that passage is packed with rich truth. You could meditate on that for weeks and months on end. But notice one of the most important things that you need to know from this is that Jesus is peace. Peace is a person. And Jesus bridged the gap between us and God. He destroyed the hostility, as Paul says there in Ephesians. He made peace with God for us, and we couldn't do it on our own. We never would have, but he did it for us. He chose to do it for us on our behalf. My friends, that is why there is real Christmas peace. It's not just a feel-good thing that we get when we're listening to great Christmas music, putting up Christmas lights and packing the tree with gifts or whatever. It's not the ooey-gooey feelings that we get and the feel-good stuff. It's beyond that. And it's found in the person of Jesus, and that's why there is real Christmas peace. Isaiah 9, 6 or 7 says this, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." My friends, the power that rose Jesus from the dead, invaded earth, is the same power at work now in us to bring that peace. As Jan said earlier when she first shared with us in music, if you want to experience true Christmas peace, you embrace an abiding lifestyle. The more you abide with Jesus, the person of peace, his peace begins to reside within you, and you carry it with you. That's why that young man made a difference that day in that woman's life. She saw Jesus in him, not just the ring on his finger. That pointed her to the right place. She saw Jesus in him as he encountered people with a calm, peaceful attitude. Jesus is God who has come to be with us. That's why we call him Emmanuel. That literally means God with us. Jesus is peace. And he offers this invitation this Advent season and always in Matthew 11. "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is life." One more time. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, and no true peace. Amen. Right? So let me challenge you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you with something that you can do in response to this message of peace. Would you reach out to someone who maybe you are at odds with in this next week? Maybe it's someone on the other side of the political spectrum. Ooh. Boy, is that a touchy subject. I even said that, right? Oh my goodness. Human life, the image of God in people, is of great worth. Do not let somebody's brokenness or sinfulness or political position keep you from seeing the image of God in them. Reach out and share Christmas peace somewhere. I don't know if it's a family member, a neighbor, or somebody you've been encountering on social media or whatever. I just want to challenge us to be people of peace, abiding with Jesus in this season. Maybe you have not encountered God, the one who brings the peace in the first place. You cannot know peace unless you know Jesus. The Bible is very clear. We read that when we are apart from Christ, we're at enmity with God. We're against God. And we cannot know true peace. So I want to invite you today, if you need to know Jesus, you need to give your life to Jesus today. The Bible is very clear. You are apart from God in your sin without Christ. Romans tells us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all apart from God without Christ, and we cannot know true peace. But I want to invite you, if you're ready, to acknowledge your sinfulness and turn away from it. The Bible tells us that you have to turn away from that. Repent, turn away, think of life in a different way. Change the course from I'm going this way to I'm going this way. There's a decision to be made. It's not made by your parents. It's not made by your church attendance. It's not made by anything other than you responding to the gift of Jesus that we focus on during Christmas. So if you would like to give your life to Christ today, let me lead you in a prayer. Would you guys bow your heads and close your eyes with me? If that's you, again, I say this every week because it is important to know that it's not these words that I'm encouraging you to pray that make the difference. It's what's going on in your heart that God is stirring in you that matters. But let me lead you as a pastor in some words you might say to respond to what God is doing in your heart. You might pray this: Jesus, I know I am sinful, and I realize that my good works, my good deeds, will never outweigh the bad in my life. I need your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me right now and help me to turn away from my sin. I trust you now to be my Lord and my Savior. And with your help, I will follow you for the rest of my life in the friendship and fellowship of your church family. Let me pray for the rest of us who are along the journey somewhere, following Jesus, encountering Jesus. Father, would you help us to be peacemakers? You have reconciled us to yourself, and we have that true peace. We have access to that peace every day in our lives. I pray, God, you would help us to be instruments of that peace as we wait in hopeful anticipation of your return to set all things right. Help us to see that we're missionaries. We are people on mission while we're here on planet Earth. And this season is the greatest season of opportunity to point people to your Son, Jesus, and declare the Christmas peace in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our workplaces, and in our community, in our world. But God, we can't do it without your help. So we ask you, Father, to grant us the grace to walk with you in these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.